Joining us on Front and Center is Danielle Sir. She's Vice President of Integrated Marketing at Coe Communications. And Danielle is a regular on the program. And Danielle, welcome to Front and Center.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
A lot to talk about, as always. You've written some interesting pieces which can be accessed on your website. I want to begin with one that deals with websites and how to improve your website copy. And something that really caught my eye right away was, and it's something we try to emphasize in radio as well and in marketing generally, is know your audience. So how about talking about that?
Sure. Knowing your target audience is critically important. As you mentioned, in radio, television, any print materials, and your website too. You want people to know that you understand their wants and needs, why they're considering your company for whatever product or service you may provide, and what the most important information is to them. We often talk as a team of marketers about the information that people need to know versus what's nice for them to know. In the digital age, there's so much information for people to consume, and you really want to make sure you're sharing the information that's most relevant to them.
You know, it's interesting because in this day and age where we have messages coming left and right, you need to stand out from the crowd. What can you tell our audience about that?
It's so true, Dan. It's very easy to get lost in a sea of sameness. You know, a lot of times companies will say, oh, well, my competitor does this or my competitor does that. We should do it too. But what they really need to do is take a step back and say, what is it that makes our company unique? What value do we bring to prospective clients that they can't get from our competitors? And what's the most effective way for us to communicate that, whether it's in web copy, in visuals, imagery, video, or some other avenue?
You write about drive meaningful action. What do you mean by that?
In this day and age, I think we get caught up in something that I refer to as vanity metrics. Yes, you want to know how many people liked a post on Facebook. Yes, you want to know that your social media communities are growing, and you want to know that your website traffic is increasing. But what are people doing once they get to your website? How are you really measuring the success of that tool? And I'll give you a couple of examples. Some companies, depending on their product or service, may have a button on their website where you can click to request a demo or schedule a consultation. That's an action that they can measure. They can say, okay, we had 100 people visit this page of our website during the past 30 days, and we had 20 of them click on the button to request a demo. And once they read a little bit about what the demo entailed, perhaps, you know, 50% of them took action. And that's a really great way for people to say what part of their website and which content are most effective, and also what is your target audience looking to accomplish when they do come to your website.
Also, you have to be accessible. Can you explain that?
When you're on the inside of a company, you tend to know the lingo really well, and you tend to know the jargon and the intricacies of your business really well. That isn't necessarily always the case for prospective clients. And so you want to be careful when you're writing website copy to make sure that you are being informative and you're being authentic to your brand, but you also want to make sure that the content is easy for people to understand. One of the examples I'll often give is if you have a product or service that is extremely technical and it takes an intensive amount of text to explain what it is and how it works, you might want to consider something like an infographic, which is a visual way of representing data and can often help to simplify complex processes for people.
You know, the other thing that catches my eye is, particularly in this information-oriented world where we might be on overdrive when it comes to all the information, is get to the point, right?
It's incredibly important to be succinct in your messaging. You want to lead with the most important information, the things that people need to know in the event that they don't read through a whole page of website copy. And you also want to think about how people are accessing that content. Think about how many people are doing business from their smartphones and their tablets. That's a different format, and it's not a pleasant experience to have to scroll through several, lengthy bands of content to get the information you need when you have a small screen in your hand.
Talking with Danielle Sir from Coe Communications, and actually Coe Communications has put together an interesting piece on this that can be downloaded, a guide, right?
We do. On our website, which is info.cocommunications.com/blog, our blog where a lot of these things live. We do offer an informational white paper on website design best practices and some of the things that you should keep in mind if you are embarking upon building a new website or redesigning an existing website.
Another piece that Danielle wrote, and you can go to info.cocommunications.com, 5 things to do before starting a website redesign. And you know, Danielle, when you think about it, it's a big thing. It's a big deal in this day and age, first of all, when you reach a decision to redesign a website, right?
It is. You know, website design projects are a big undertaking. And, you know, I've seen many a company, ourselves included, it's hard not to cringe sometimes when you think about all the content that lives on a website and what it really takes to develop a new website. But the thing is, there are some best practices that you should follow before you embark upon the process to make it go more smoothly and also to ensure that you can keep the process moving along.
And among the things you recommend is to audit your existing website. So let's start there.
Auditing your website is something that you should do at least once a year, whether you're in the market for a redesign or you're just looking to improve the performance of your existing website. The bottom line is that links break. Content becomes outdated, people add new products and services or programs, staff members change, and you want to make sure that your website is as up-to-date as it possibly can be. Part of the auditing process is also determining, based on the data that you're able to see from a tool like a Google Analytics, which will break down your website traffic for you and show what pages people visit most often, is determining how you want people to go through the content on your website. So what is the pathway you want them to follow when they land on the homepage?
Another thing you recommend is to check out the competition, or as you write, spy on the competition.
Keeping an eye on the competition is such an important part of effective marketing. You need to know what your competitors are doing. You need to know who they're talking to, you know, what products and services they're launching, if they're expanding, adding a new facility, if they've acquired a smaller competitor in the space. That's all really good intelligence to have, and it can help you in the web design process by understanding what you do and do not want to do on your website. And I should note that finding inspiration for website design or website components isn't limited to just one own industry. You can look at other companies and entities and say, wow, I really like how they use video, or I really like how they organize their information. And some of those things can certainly be applied to companies in other industries as well.
What about, and you're right, assess what other marketing assets need to be updated. Can you explain that?
Sure. Brand consistency is critically important. You want people to know who you are and what you do, whether they're looking at your business cards, your brochures, your website, your social media marketing, and most importantly, you want it all to be consistent. You don't want people to have a perception on one marketing channel that you do one thing and to look at another marketing asset and have a different perception. So it's really important to look at your other marketing materials and say, for example, perhaps you decide to refine your logo during the website design process or add some new colors into your, you know, brand's color palette. You then want to make sure your other marketing materials match so that you always appear as one consistent and cohesive brand.
Yeah, that's so important. Branding, your logo, how you're perceived by the public, isn't it?
It's really important. And if you think about some of the major iconic consumer brands in America, think about a Coca-Cola or a Nike. You know them by their logo or by their colors. And you wouldn't have necessarily the same association if you didn't know that. You think of Coca-Cola and you think of that red color. You think of McDonald's and the golden arches. You think of Nike and the iconic swoosh. A brand is a really important asset.
You're right. Identify third-party systems that need to be integrated and any custom functionality that needs to be built. How about dissecting that for us?
Sure. Sometimes companies will offer a client portal through their website. Sometimes that is, you know, a third-party company who manages that, and all they need to do is add a link to direct people over to that site. In other circumstances, they may have their own sort of custom functionality that they need built into the website, and that's a really important part of the planning process, both when you're getting bids for a website redesign to make sure that everybody is quoting you and giving the most accurate numbers they can, but also in terms of understanding how long it will take to actually build your website and get it up and running. We've spoken with accounting firms, for example, in the past, and they've had, you know, tax planning documents or other tools that people can use, and those need to be built into the website. So that's something that you really need to consider early on in the planning process.
How important is it to review your photography and videography?
Photography and videography, when you can use authentic imagery, are really a great asset for your brand. Now, certainly there are companies that work in sensitive industries or with sensitive populations, and you can't always use authentic and you have to revert to some stock assets. But authentic imagery is a really valuable asset. And when you're looking at a website redesign, you want to make sure your photography is up to date, your videos are up to date, but you also want to make sure that they're packaged in the most appropriate way. And what I mean by that is perhaps you've invested in a professionally produced company profile video. That could be an asset that's 3 to 5 minutes in length. But when you look at your website, you have, for example, a page where you have team member bios, and maybe you want to have a multimedia component where you just show one person speaking and sharing perhaps some thought leadership that they offer in that larger company profile video. Well, in that case, you may need to edit down the video and have that shorter piece extracted into a new video that can live on that other page of the website. So you want to make sure that you have the formats and the tools that you need to be as effective as you can in your website.
Is there a guide available for download on this?
There is not a guide available for video, but it's definitely something that's on our radar.
Okay, that's good to know. But overall, as far as five things to do before starting a website design, you can download a free Web Essentials guide, right?
Yes, that web planning guide will offer you best practices in terms of what should be included in your website. And it is, you know, actionable tips. We try to give people information that they can use and documents that they can have on hand as they go through the process as a resource.
Danielle Sir is Vice President of Integrated Marketing at Co Communications, and she writes a great blog, puts out about 2 or 3 new pieces a week. Content, 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 which leads us to another piece she wrote, 10 Content Marketing Tips. We're going to review some of them, including create content calendars. So let's start there, Danielle.
So the thing about marketing is, and I think many companies feel this pain point, is when things are busy and business is really good, sometimes it can slip off the radar, and that can be a little bit of a challenge. By using a tool like a content calendar and mapping out what you're going to be promoting and focusing on for the next 30 days, it's a great resource, and it really helps to hold everybody accountable and make sure everybody's on the same page.
Why is it important to, as you write, embrace blogging?
Blogs are great educational assets. A blog is an opportunity to expose prospective clients to your way of thinking, what it would be like to work with your company, to educate them about new regulations, industry trends, things that are impacting their business. And a blog is also a really great way to inform existing clients about other products, services, and expertise that your team has to offer.
Yeah, there's no question about the importance of blogging and also incorporating email marketing. You're right about that.
A lot of times, companies can overlook the fact that their existing client base really is their pot of gold. The people who have been former clients, our existing clients, your referral sources, your lead generators, your network partners, you want to make sure those people are well informed about what's going on with your organization as well. And part of that is email marketing. That way you maintain a steady touch point with those audiences, whether you send out 2 a month, 1 a month, whether you do a newsletter where you pull together a lot of content, or you send out timely alert-style communications when there's sort of breaking news that clients need to know about. Email marketing is just a great way to stay on people's radar and to keep them well informed about what your company is up to.
What about repurposing presentations for SlideShare, and explain SlideShare?
Sure. So SlideShare is an online tool where you can upload PowerPoint presentations and share thought leadership with online audiences. So, for example, if you were at an industry trade show or a conference and you gave a workshop and you wanted to make that presentation available to folks afterwards, you could upload it to SlideShare. SlideShare is also searchable, so people who are online looking for information about a particular topic may come across your presentation as well, and it helps you to reach new audiences. And it's a great way to get more mileage out of what you're already doing. We're big proponents of maximizing the value of your existing marketing and finding ways to get the most mileage you can out of it. We realize creating content can be really time intensive for people, and that not everybody has the luxury of having a dedicated staff person to fulfill that role. So you need to be smart about how you can get as much value as you possibly can out of what you're already doing.
Now, again, we go back to content, content, content. How important is it to have a go-to list for third-party content?
Having a list of resources you can rely on for credible information is a really valuable marketing asset. When you think about social media, in particular Twitter, companies are faced with putting out a significant volume of content, and you want it to be high quality, and you want it to be relevant to your audiences. In the same token, you don't want it to be a tool where all you do is promote your own company and your own thought leadership. So having a punch list of 10 to 20 go-to sources, whether they're media outlets, industry associations, strategic partners of yours that you can rely on to provide some credible information that can be shared with your audiences, is a really valuable tool.
You also write about answer common questions. That's number six. But number seven catches my eye. Invite guest bloggers. There's a lot of positives to that. Explain.
There are a lot of positives. I mean, one of them sort of selfishly being the fact that you get a week off from writing content. But all kidding aside, bringing in new perspectives and new voices to your blog can be really valuable for your readership. It's a great way to let people know the sort of network that comes with working with a company like yours. And it's a great way to bring in authors, industry experts, presenters from trade associations and conferences, and to offer some different perspectives to your readers.
And be a storyteller. That's important, isn't it?
It really is. And it goes back to, you know, the heart of journalism, so to speak. You need a great story, and marketing is built around great stories, whether you're telling them through videos, whether you're telling them through blog posts, on social media, in your email marketing. The more you can tell a story and tie together who you are, what you do, the benefits to the client, the challenges that you help to address, the stronger you are in cultivating new clients and in engaging and maintaining your existing client base.
You write also about maximizing the value of conferences and trade shows. Can you explain that?
Trade shows and conferences are excellent content gathering opportunities. Think about if you went to a 2-day conference or a 3-day conference. During the course of those few days, you could easily attend upwards of 10 or 15 workshops. And if you took notes during those workshops or recorded some of the presentations on your smartphone, there is a lot of thought leadership in there that you can share in your own blog posts. You know, I often think of it as being an on-the-ground reporter. What can you take away from the trade shows and conferences that you attend and bring back to your colleagues, your clients, your prospective clients, and give them the educational value that they may have missed by not being able to attend that event?
And you also talk about integrating traditional marketing. Elaborate on that.
People get very excited about social media marketing, and they also get very excited about the concept of inbound marketing, where you use your online marketing content to help attract prospective clients to your website and your other online channels. But you never want to overlook the traditional marketing channels that have always worked well for you. If your industry, for example, has an annual trade show, and you find that that trade show for the past 3, 5, 7 years has consistently yielded a handful of qualified prospects, many of whom have become clients, you don't want to stop going to that trade show just because you think digital is the place to be. You always want to let data inform your strategy. So if you have found that traditional print newspaper advertising and the Sunday paper is valuable, or the radio advertising is valuable, you want to keep doing what's working, and then you also want to find opportunities to bring in new marketing channels that could and test their effectiveness and see if you can also generate a positive outcome from those as well.
Now, there's a beginner's guide in this area if people want to download it, right?
There is. We offer a beginner's guide to inbound marketing, which helps to educate people about what inbound marketing is and how they can tie their traditional marketing efforts with their digital marketing efforts and ultimately use marketing as a sales tool.
Danielle, anything else you'd like to add?
you know, as companies embark upon what for many is the fourth quarter, it's really the time to think about how you can build a stronger marketing machine in 2017. And part of that is evaluating your website and looking at your marketing content and figuring out what's worked well and where you can improve.
Danielle Sir, Vice President of Integrated Marketing at Coe Communications. Danielle, as always, thanks for joining us on Front and Center.
Thanks for having me, Dan.